In the last few years in sports commentary, something that I've noticed is that there's been a big debate that's arisen about who is the greatest of all time, or commonly it's abbreviated as the GOAT. And for example, some might argue, you know, Michael Jordan or LeBron James is the greatest basketball player of all time, or Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And maybe I have a controversial opinion about this, and I could be persuaded differently, but I think this debate is completely arbitrary and nonsensical, because how you determine that is based on all kinds of different metrics. Championships that someone might win, or different statistics of that particular athlete, or the playing style, or even comparing people across different time periods. That also doesn't always seem to work. It might be a fun debate, but it's not really very useful. And just like it could be considered maybe a waste of time, in some ways, to determine who the GOAT is, it seems to be a waste of time when we stumble across the apostles who are doing the same thing in our gospel, in a sense. Jesus, who in a continuation from last week's gospel, he's teaching that he must suffer his passion and will rise again after 3 days. And after hearing this, they're all a little bit nervous to ask him about this, so they remain quiet. But then as they're walking to the next house, they begin to argue amongst themselves, the apostles do, about who is the greatest. Then Jesus asks them what they're arguing about. Now, Jesus already knows what they're arguing about, presumably, but he does something very interesting. He then takes a child and he places it in front of them. Now, I want to come back to that in a second. But I want to first talk about what exactly jealousy and envy are and what it does to us. Now, they're slightly different words, but I'm going to use envy for the purpose of this. Envy is the sadness at the sight of another's good and the immediate desire to acquire those goods for ourselves. So I'll say that again. It's sadness at the sight of another's good and the immediate desire to acquire those goods for ourselves. So a person has a thing or has a talent that we want, and we want to try and get that thing. And we might do something even unjust in a way or even harm that person, which actually makes it one of the seven deadly sins because of that. And inside of us, there can stir this sense of hatred. I think this is more common, actually. There can stir a sense of hatred toward that person. We can feel a sense of pride, believing that we should have more than we do, or that we should be better at something than we are. It often comes down to the fact that we are not content with what we have, we're not grateful for what we have, or who God has made us to be. And generally, we are envious of people who are in the same sphere or the same level as we are. So, for example, I'm probably not going to be envious of LeBron James' basketball skills because I'm not a professional basketball star. That's way past me now. And I'm never going to be able to acquire those particular skills. But it is possible that I could be jealous or envious of another priest, for example. So a lot of times it's more about who is around us that we are more immediately maybe jealous or envious of. And that's why the apostles are envious of each other, because they're all close in status, they're all doing similar things, they're all following Jesus, they've all got different skills and talents in different areas, but the Lord is trying to remind them that this is not the question that they should really be asking. The effect of envy is that it can make us lose charity or love for another person, and it becomes a mortal sin if we wish to want to harm that person in some way, or try and maybe bring them down in some way. The other effect that happens because of envy is that we often lose our interior peace because we can get very frustrated by what we lack. There's often a phrase that you'll hear that to compare is to despair. Oftentimes, it can lead to this despairing of that other person, and it can often prevent us from being able to rejoice in the good things and even notice the good things that God is doing in our lives because we're looking at other people. And oftentimes it's usually a perception thing. We perceive that that other person has those things that we don't have, but that may not necessarily be the case. And the Lord is working in their lives too. That's why in our second reading from the Apostle James, James points out something very interesting, that war often comes from envy, because it can inflame our passions. We often think, especially in today's world, we think that war and conflict often come from something that's externally caused. And that can contribute to it, of course, but what leads to war is often our own sinful inclinations, our own sinful passions, the fact that we're fallen, that there's envy that is stirring, that can often stir inside of us, and that can lead to conflict over other things. So, what exactly is the remedy for all this? How do we combat this sin of envy that has the power to overtake us? Well, returning back to Jesus, who places that child in the midst of the apostles, Jesus is telling his apostles that to be the greatest of all, they have to be the servant of all. And they also have to receive a child such as this. And furthermore, whoever receives this child receives Jesus and also receives the Father. Now, to our ears, that may not mean much. But in Jesus' time, this would have been very shocking to hear. Because children in Jesus' time didn't have a lot of rights. They weren't looked very highly upon. It would have been pretty scandalous, actually, for them to hear that Jesus is calling God the Father and comparing him to receiving a child. That would have been very difficult for them to hear. And so what Jesus is teaching them is that to be the greatest, it's not about doing great and amazing things, but rather it's about receiving great things. It's not about doing great things, it's about receiving great things. And if you ever notice how children interact with the world, they're masters of this. They know how to receive things. Children, especially young children, are, first of all, they're completely dependent upon adults. And all of you that have young children or have had young children, you notice this, that they can't do a lot of things on their own. They need your help. And they are perfectly happy, most of the time probably, to receive your help. They often receive what's given to them. Children also have this ability to be able to learn things a lot quicker, especially when you think about things like language, for example. They can often receive that a lot quicker because they're willing to go around and make mistakes and try new things, and they're willing to bump into things and get up and try again. Whereas adults, we might have more conceptual knowledge about things, but we often struggle to be able to learn things like language because we're not willing to make those mistakes. We're not willing to maybe try and put ourselves out there. And so Jesus wants us to be like children, not childish in a sense, but childlike in the sense that we are receiving the things of this world. And so our greatness then comes from our ability to be able to receive the gifts that God has given us. And often what that means is just receiving the person and serving the person who is in front of us and receiving them as they are. And that can be the least of someone, but it can also be someone who's very high status. Whoever it is that we're serving, the Lord wants us to receive them and to be able to serve them and see Christ in that particular person, just as we would receive a child. It also includes, and I think it explains a little bit why the church puts these two parts of the gospel together, that it also includes receiving the cross, too. Last couple of weeks, we've been hearing about the importance of the cross and the suffering of the cross. And oftentimes, we don't choose the suffering that we have in our life. It's often given to us. And so, Jesus chooses to undergo the cross. He chooses to undergo it out of an act of charity, out of an act of love for us. And he served us by suffering that death on the cross for our sins to bring us to salvation. And so we are also called in the same way to receive that cross in our life, to receive it and to take it with an act of charity, right? And know that the Lord really wants to work through that in our lives. So it's receiving those around us, serving those that are in front of us, and also receiving those sufferings that the Lord wants us to undergo. So go, receive your greatness.